Kendall.
Hi.
Kendall, it's tax season, isn't it? Are you planning on doing taxes or will you be doing tax fraud?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Maybe a bit of both.
A little sprinkling here and there. I like to keep them guessing.
Well, that's really like one of the middle class lifestyle hacks that I've learned about since entering the middle class somewhat recently, is that middle class people do a lot of like tax frauds, but they are just called regular taxes when you're middle class, and they do all kinds of just wackadoo stuff, like claiming that the house that they live in is a house that they're paying rent to and then getting their taxes to pay their mortgage for them, or like starting a fake LLC so that they can have a company car that's just their regular car. And it's, you know, being middle class involves a lot of lying and a lot of having credit cards.
I was thinking, you know, because I work from home and I work remotely, to start filing my groceries as company lunches. But we'll have to see, you know.
I bring this up because, Kendall, can you take a look at our Patreon earnings?
Yeah, I can take a look.
What's that dollar amount looking like? Where are we at?
I'm logging in. It's gonna take a hot minute.
You can just go to patreon.com/bigswaynaturals.
We're at $2.49 a month.
So we will be entering the middle class
as
a podcast within some time. And I wanted to sort of prepare us for entering that next tax bracket by introducing a little segment that I want to call Virgil's Financial School of Freedom, where I teach you, ignorant fool, and our audience, even more ignorant fools, about financial tips and tricks that you can have to enter the 1% and stay there. So I'm going to tell you a story about my own life that you can used to learn from experience. So in the year 2018, according to the government via the taxes that I filed that year, the year 2019, I made $18,000 total. The following year, in November 2019, yours truly entered the middle class, and I made a very exciting amount of $42,000, which was double my previous year's income. So it was a huge deal for me, and suddenly I was flush with money. I, after my first monthly paycheck, flew from Seattle to Philadelphia because I didn't know what to do with all of the riches that I suddenly had, wanted to hang out with my friends. Notice that if I had paid my rent, paid for my plane ticket, I would have $600 left over for the duration of my time from arriving in Philadelphia to when I would get my next paycheck. Now, student of finances, what would you do if you had $600 available to you left over after you've paid all of your expenses?
Well, I could spend it wisely on, if I'm traveling, I could spend it wisely on, like, you know, food and lodging and things like that. But I think what I'd really want to do is invest. Is that right?
No. So you're, let's see, I'm going to give you two options. Option one, put some of it in your savings, because now you can have a savings account,
right?
And spend some of it on food and hanging out with your friends in the city of brotherly love. Or option number two, don't tell anyone that you're arriving, because you forget to tell anyone that you're arriving until the day of.
Mm-hmm.
Spend that time instead looking up on your phone, lip injection, $600 or less.
Okay, hold on, let me write this down. Lip injection.
And then
$600 or less. Okay.
Getting lip injections for exactly $600, leaving you with, if you're following, $0 left over until the next time that you are paid and have to pay bills. What would you do?
Well, I think I'm feeling
okay. Let me help.
I should lean towards lip injections,
because you have to spend money to make money.
Right. Right. And it's an investment for the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm investing into my pretty privilege.
Exactly.
So that I can, you know, reap the dividends at the end, when my lip filler starts to migrate down to my aortic chambers in my heart.
That has never happened to me.
No.
And wouldn't happen to you either, because it never happened to me. And this is
it just seems to be happening to Ben Shapiro. So I just wanted to, you know, be careful.
He's probably not going to the good people. He's probably doing what I almost did, which is, when I was looking up lip injection $600 or less, I found some Groupon options with very bad reviews, but the price was more than right.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have saved a little money to perhaps get a ride from the airport, get a ride to the airport, eat food, you know, any of the things that you might do when you're in a city that you don't currently live in. But instead, I wisely spent the entire $600 on getting hyaluronic acid pumped straight into my lips.
Right.
Because you have to spend money to make money.
Exactly. Exactly. I think I'm learning a lot. I think I might just go fly to a different city. Maybe I'll go to Erie, Pennsylvania, or, you know, somewhere of the like, and I'll Google $600 or less lip injections, and I'm going to maximize my pretty privilege, reap the benefits of that clout, and invest that clout coin, turn it into banana coin, become a billionaire. That's what I'm getting from this.
If I can just edit your idea a little bit.
Okay.
I think that your lips are fabulous as they are, but if I were to change one thing about your appearance, your eye color is subpar.
And well, the thing is that color contacts are, like, less expensive.
I feel like you could use that $600 to look into something like permanent eye color change.
$600. I don't think it exists.
$600 or less.
I don't think it. I can look up colored contacts. $600 or less. Now that's a way to spend some money. Some $600 color contacts.
Yeah, they'd probably be really good. They wouldn't have that little, like, circle.
It'd probably be prescription.
Yeah,
I could get transition lenses.
For contacts?
Well, for $600, I would assume they could do something into fun. Sunglasses? I don't fucking know.
Just black?
Yeah.
It'll look like Tyler, the Creator. And I'm a fucking pair of socks.
You're a pair of socks.
So, on the subject of financial instability, today's episode is about military recruitment tactics. Have you ever considered joining the U.S. military?
Me personally?
Uh-huh.
No.
Huh.
Not ever.
Your family, they have such a history of service.
Here's the thing. They also don't make the best decisions, as evidenced by their numerous car crashes. So I think I'm going against the grain here, but I think I'm...
They mostly don't drive cars in the military, but I think that your family gets into plane accidents a lot, too. So.
Yeah. So I'm kind of not feeling any, like, military service. It's a lot of plane
transportation
flying.
Vehicles for you.
No, you gotta stay
where you are.
No ships, no planes, no trains, no automobiles. I'm sticking right here.
Heavy is the head that wears the Kennedy curse crown. So there's a little article that's been out for a few weeks. It's called The Era of the Military Funded E-Girl. And if you're me, you saw that and you went, yawn, snooze. But if you're other people, like people who like farm engagement on leftist Twitter, then you're probably like, whoa, crazy. Has anyone seen this? Or if you're Taylor Lorenz, then you probably shared it and you were like, excellent reporting. Fantastic article.
This is a clear sign of the degradation of Gen Z, a group that I truly loathe and despise for being more relevant than me.
You know, technically I am Gen Z.
You technically are, yes.
Yeah, like where the line is drawn. I get to be there.
You're right at the cutoff.
If I wanted to, but I don't. I'm transgenerational.
It's like when you go to Six Flags and they're like, you must be this tall to ride this ride. And
I
always
am.
Yeah, you always are. And I mean, the platforms are certainly helping.
No, I'm already tall enough. Thank you. Fuck off.
I'm 5'1", so I have no room to talk.
No, you don't. And I'm taller than 5'1".
You're 5'2".
And 3/4".
Okay.
Which is practically 5'3".
You are towering over me.
Which is practically 5'5". And if you round that up, that's 6 foot. So fuck off. I am tall enough to ride every ride. Mm-hmm. And my eyes are brown. And I can make my lips any size that I want. But your eyes will always be blue.
The real Winston Churchill moment right there.
I think that's great.
I'll wake up and you'll still be ugly or whatever the fuck.
Groucho Marx. It's not Winston Churchill.
Oh, it's Groucho Marx.
Yeah, Winston Churchill's like the British prime minister.
Somebody lied to me several times in history class in 10th grade.
I mean, he might have said something, but he would have been referencing Groucho Marx.
Somebody lied to me several times. My 10th grade history teacher will be receiving spiders in the mail. Anyway.
All right. So if I'm going to quote this article, it begins, I'm not the American dream. I'm more like the American nightmare, beams the influencer known as Halu Jean. I'm not on TikTok. If I'm mispronouncing this username, I don't care. In a video to her 363,000 TikTok followers with full face e-girl makeup, drawn-on freckles, and a rosy nose, this 20-year-old is the face of a new unsettling breed of e-girls garnering millions of views online. She posts thirst traps, inside choppers, and pouty selfies with assault rifles with hashtags like hashtag pew pew and hashtag military curves. Kendall, as our conduit for the listeners at home and also as my friend and co-host,
yes,
whose opinions I respect and admire.
Aww.
What's wrong with this quote so far? Anything sticking out to you?
I mean,
it's okay. It's okay if you didn't see it. I'm just wondering.
I feel like...
Okay, the answer is that it's 2023 and e-girl makeup is like...
Okay, yeah.
So over.
Yeah.
And I am not of the mind that you need to be like consistently keeping up with trends. Mm-hmm. But I will say that if you are a writer and you are putting together an article claiming that something is happening,
maybe update the text a little bit
in it. It's like maybe that's your first clue that this is not totally an ongoing trend. Because honestly, a 20-year-old that is doing e-girl makeup makes complete sense for the type of women that I know to be in the military, and that they are always mm-hmm. going to be fucking behind on like beauty trends because they're like washed from birth. So they can only like experience trends through like it getting filtered to them, which inevitably means that they get them really late. Like if she's doing like a rosy nose with like fake freckles, it's like, girl, SZA was doing that 2015.
I mean, from the quote itself, it's like she's really washed. I'm not the American dream. I'm more like the American nightmare. Like, slow down, like Harley Quinn, Joker Facebook post. She was his queen.
Right.
So that kind of shit.
The perspective of the article is that the U.S. military may potentially be using the tactic of E-women, I guess, shorthand for Ethernet women, to recruit new people into the military on the platform of TikTok. So it goes on to say about this girl whose name I've forgotten already, Heilujan,
yeah.
A self-described psychological operations specialist for the U.S. Army whose online presence has led to countless memes speculating that she is a post-ironic psyop meant to recruit people into the U.S. military. So that's clue number two, which is that it's self-described.
Yeah.
I would say clue number three is that you got to think about who is in charge of this country and the world. And it is overall really old people.
Really old.
And
ancient.
If they are young people, it is people that are extremely fucking washed. Like
mm-hmm.
Pete Buttigieg types. Although I guess he's not that young anymore.
Like, who are their youth correspondents? Charlie Kirk, who keeps pretending that he's like 20.
He's probably not involved with the U.S. military.
But I'm saying like these are the
people
who are supposedly making like organized campaigns of youth Ziad, correspondents.
The activist. It's like that type of young person. Mm. So I think that we do need to use our brains when we're claiming that the U.S. military is doing post-ironic psyops and think about, would they be able to accomplish this successfully given what type of people are at the helm of their campaigns? And maybe people are like, well, hey, let's give them some credit. The U.S. military have successfully infiltrated various groups, to which I would say, no, that's the FBI and the CIA, mm-hmm. which is a totally different ballgame. And
yeah, if anything, the military has mostly been pawns in the game of the FBI and the CIA.
Yeah.
If anything, they are resources. They're not like players in like the game of psyops.
I'm just going to go back to the article. Mm-hmm. Heilujan isn't the only e-girl using Sanrio sex appeal to lure the internets. Okay, and I have this quote verbatim, so I am representing this as it is written. It says, lure the internet's simps, but simps is spelt capital S-I-M-P, lowercase s, as if it's an acronym, which additionally telling about the writer of this article, into the armed forces. There's Bailey Crespo and Kayla Salinas, not to mention countless hashtag MilTalk gunfluencers cropping up online. While she didn't document her military career, influencer Bella Porch also served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years before going viral on TikTok in 2020, and is arguably the blueprint for this kind of kawaii commodified fetishism, sorry, in the military. So, I think that writers such as Failure Lorenz and her sons have just this like fundamental incuriousness about the sort about the platforms that they do their reporting on.
I would say a resentment also.
Yeah.
Like a very visible resentment for the people on it and the platforms that
which I do too. I do too. But it's not my job to report on TikTok. And I think that the like unwillingness to learn about the platform that you are reporting on creates these like pretty wild claims. One that because a like a hashtag denoting a certain type of influencer is popular is signifying of any trend is a little bit confusing to me, because TikTok is like if you were friends on Facebook with literally every person and just any kind of video like showed up for you based on all the types of people that there are in the world. So you're going to be exposed to types of people that you maybe wouldn't have seen on your curated Twitter page or on your Instagram, because every so often TikTok is going to throw something random at you. And so you're going to feel like, whoa, suddenly I'm seeing a lot of people in the military, or I'm seeing a lot of people that own guns. I don't see that on my Twitter or on my Instagram. And it's like, yeah, because TikTok is trying to see if you are interested in this. And if you engage with it at all, then it will show you a little more of that. But if you followed every single person in the world that had a Twitter account on Twitter, you would also see probably a like similar amount of people who are like young gun-owning women or young women in the military.
And they also, like, at the same time as it's, like, really broad, it's also, like, hyper-specific. There are people who are on TikTok that you will have never heard of in your life, and most people haven't, who have, like, millions of followers. You know, this world has 7 billion people in it, and while you can't exactly conceptualize or visualize that in your head, that's a lot of fucking people. The things that, like, are going around in their circles will sometimes end up in your circles by chance, or sometimes, you know, and I'm going to say this with like a big grain of salt, sometimes on purpose. There was a couple articles that were released recently about TikTok basically kind of admitting that they have a go viral button, that there's basically a backdoor within TikTok programming that allows them to like push certain types of content to just about everybody. So do I think that these e-girls have been pushed to just about everybody on purpose by like individual specific employees at TikTok? No. But do I think that sometimes just based on what the algorithm is already feeding you, some stuff that you've never seen will just kind of end up on your page? You'll be like, oh, this must be like a new trend. And then everybody just starts talking about it organically anyway. And so they think it's like really popular, but it just kind of ended up being like three people saw the same thing. And then I just get a bunch of videos about people talking about the three people who saw the same thing. Like half the time, I'm not even getting the original video. I'm getting a response to a response to a response to the original video.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare on there. You should get off that app. But I just think that it is like
an example. Your inside look.
I don't want one. It's upsetting. Everything that you send to me, I hate. but I love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think that this article is a good example of the kind of like lazy and irresponsible reporting that happens a lot with not just TikTok but internet culture, because I think to see a hashtag that has like a number of videos in it and then decide that it is an indicator of a growing trend or a new trend.
Or a global trend.
Just doesn't feel, well, in this case, it would be a domestic one because it's like military talk, but it just isn't like using your brain at all about how the platform that you're on is going to affect the kind of media that you see. I also feel like it's not a really good use of like critical thinking. Or what's the, like, what's a smaller level than critical? Like, if critical thinking is like you're thinking really hard, what if you're thinking just like mildly hard?
I don't know. You're furrowing your brow.
Yeah, they didn't even do that.
Chin scratching.
If
chin scratchingly hard.
One girl is popular, making videos of a certain type, and she is in the military. Why would two or three other people not also try to do the same thing? That does not imply like U.S. military psychological operation involvement as much as it does like the ongoing trends of influencer culture, where if some person becomes popular for doing a thing, a couple other people can also usually become popular for doing that too, or at least will try to.
I also get kind of annoyed because I feel like this, again, like you were saying, like the these authors of these articles point to these trends as if they're like a brand new bizarre thing that happens, when it like just points to a fundamental, like the idea of like an attractive girl being a tool for propaganda to join the military is so not new in any way. If you look at anything about like the history of the pinup girl and the way they would like paint attractive women in scantily clad clothing on the side of military planes, they would put them in ads. It's just not new.
I think not only is it not new, but we have no evidence that it's happening via TikTok. And I think that like specifically, it is not happening at the directive of the US military. I do think that like these young women know what kind of imagery they're making use of and are using that to grow their own platform. But I think that the article drawing like then the conclusion that this is a concerted psychological operation in order to recruit Gen Z into the military is like a really
irresponsible
and irresponsible like conclusion to draw from that, when we actually do have like existing evidence of what ways the US military is trying to recruit people online that we should be paying attention to. And I think that the like tone of this article and also this conversation, not ours, never us.
Clearly, never us. Never us.
Is like very misogynist in its like just totality too, because it's like this like titillating focus on these like young girls as if, because I think it is the way that I have seen leftist men, capital L, capital M, circulating this, going, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. And it's like, don't fall for what? Objectifying a woman that you see online? You shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Just put your dick away.
Put your dick away. Put your phone away. Pick up a book. The title of that book should be Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism by Vladimir Lenin. Make sure that your dick is definitely away, and then open to page one.
Please make sure your dick is not being used as the bookmark for Vladimir Lenin's imperialism.
And I think that this like final quote is where I take main issue with the article, which is it goes on to say an adjacent figure Natalia Fadiev, also known as Gun Waifu, is an Israeli influencer and IDF soldier who uses waifu aesthetics and catgirl cosplay to peddle pro-Israel propaganda to her 756,000 followers. She poses to camera Ahigo style with freshly manicured nails wrapped neatly around a Glock, the uwuification of military functioning as a cutesy distraction from the shadowy colonial context when they try and destroy your nation, she writes in one caption. So first of all, the colonial context is not shadowy.
It's just there.
Yeah. It's. Secondly, I think that it is irresponsible to like claim that this is an adjacent figure, because the IDF actually does openly use pictures and the idea of there being beautiful women in the IDF as a means to both recruit. I mean, they don't need to recruit people to the IDF because it's like, what you call it?
Required.
Yeah. But recruit people to supporting the colonial project of Israel, as well as like enticing young Americans and other Westerners, usually white ones, preferably, to Israel to join their military, or if they're like not young enough to move there. So it isn't adjacent, because this is already a thing that we know about that is done, and it's not the uwuification of the military in Israel. They have been doing this for ages, for
years,
and they do it very publicly. You go on the IDF's Instagram page, and I am sure that within like the first five or six posts, you're going to see like a few of young women like posing with their guns or whatever in like a like cutesy titillating manner.
That's like the first one and the fifth and the fourth one as of this time.
So it's like just drawing a comparison that I think minimizes what is actually being done by Israel, because that's it's like just very openly done. It's not a psychological operation. And the like underpinning claim of this article, and then also like the fears that were expressed, was like that these girls are going to entice young men into joining the military that otherwise would have been like liberals or leftists. And I just don't, I don't think that that is the goal. However, U.S. military is that they're up to some things.
Oh, they're up to some truly shady things all the time, always.
In 2021, it was reported that the U.S. Army allocated millions of dollars to recruit Twitch influencers to create original content videos showcasing the wide skill sets offered by the Army, and to use influencers to familiarize their fans on Army values and opportunities. And this was like mainly focused on esports and Call of Duty. The article says that it was no far stretch to imagine this marketing drive aimed at e-girls too, a theory that becomes all the more convincing when you consider the US PSYOP's motto to persuade, change, influence. I think it is a far stretch, because I think that the audience of people who play Call of Duty, they don't all skew right or conservative or like interested in guns. Some of them are just people that are playing a video game that's probably not that good. But there is a skill set and an interest there that like lends itself one-to-one with the kinds of things that the military is currently doing and is trying to get people to be able to do.
They had their own esports league for a while, didn't they?
Do they want a little DSA boy who is into girls making anime faces? What do they want with
him? Like a Tumblr blog full of like aesthetic gun pictures, but like he's not ever going to shoot one.
He's too skinny.
The recoil would just send him flying back. No, I believe the U.S. military had their own esports team for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, and they got like severely mocked off of Twitch, and they canned that idea. But I think that there is, and there should be, like an interest in investigating military recruitment tactics online, and especially using like social platforms that are popular with really young people like TikTok and Twitch. And I think that like focusing on what seems to just be like
misogyny,
lines drawn Charlie Kelly style for the sake of titillating your audience, is really missing the actual like insidious things that are happening. Last year in 2022, the military leaders requested more authorities from Congress to try to make some major strides in recruitments for the next few years. This is something that I got from the NextGov website that was reporting on how hard it has been to recruit lately. And they want these authorities to make strides because they have had some difficulty, and they especially would like more authority in monetary incentives and resources for reaching out to high school students. So that's preying on poor people and not people that are trying to make the Ahigo face. The challenge is particularly acute in areas like cybersecurity and information warfare technologies. The article goes on to say, quoting from a like military general talking about their recruitment tactics, our current authorities are really almost 1990s authorities that focus on directory information from telephone books. We don't have the same access or the same level of ability to access content that commercial does. What we are right now is a blunt force instrument. We want to be more strategic. We want to be able to package our message messaging so it can resonate with the greatest effect to a generation where we count seconds in being able to capture their attention. We want to work with a committee to potentially expand our authorities to do that. And this came out in September 2022. So they would like to be able to surveil us a little bit more and to have a little bit more of our data. I guess the Patriot Act wasn't enough for them.
They don't think it's fair that they don't get to see us in our houses 99% of the time, and they can only view us through our Ring cameras.
But again, this is how fucking behind the times they are. Major General Kevin Vereen, who leads Army Recruiting Command, said this. They're on TikTok, and they're doing other things with Twitter.
They're on TikTok, and they're doing other things. Other
this is things why, with Twitter. When the military was trying to recruit people via Twitch, they did it so transparently and so poorly.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, they don't really know how to speak the language, for one thing, but they also have no idea what platforms these people are on, how they work.
They have probably the same level of incuriosity and disdain that the writers of many of these kinds of articles do about like young people, and it prevents them from being able to recruit effectively, because you definitely would be able to use Twitch as a platform to find young people that are interested in killing people for real via drone. And they just did a transparently bad job at it, that it was funnier to make fun of them than it was to kill people via drone, because most of the like young people that were getting involved in trolling the US military on Twitch were not doing it from like a principled stance, but because it was like hilarious. It was the equivalent of making fun of your substitute teacher, which middle schoolers that are listening to this Patreon episode do not have do money. That. Yeah, they might have some money. How do you think they buy songs on iTunes?
Buying songs? They've got that iTunes gift card money.
The leader of the Army Recruiting Command goes on to say, we've got to learn them. We've got to understand, Vereen said at the Association of the U.S. Army's annual meeting in October. We do know that most of Generation Z lives in the virtual space. They live online. They live with social media. And so we have to be savvy with how we evolve in our recruiting operations.
We've got to learn them. We've got to understand. We've got to paint with all the colors of the wind. Like,
yeah,
we simply have to learn how they walk, how they move.
Is that, well, you know, here it's mentioned that they're looking for more financial incentives in recruiting. I think it, like, it bears saying, in case anyone didn't know, that most people that enlist in the military come from, like, middle class to upper middle class backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So the reason that recruitment leaders don't seem too savvy about how to reach young people is that in the past, most people that enlist in the military come from families that had also been in the military. And there mm-hmm. has been a recruitment decline. And so now they're scrambling to figure out how to get more people. And they aren't very good at it because the people that are good at doing psychological operations work for the FBI and the CIA. They don't really work for the Army's, like, recruitment board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that we don't need to worry about, like, tactics that they use to, like, prey on young people. I just don't think that we need to focus on girls that can't even do blush right.
I think it's kind of...
like, if they were doing this in 2018, if there was a little e-girl in 2018, I would be like, oh, that, you know, they hopped on this trend at just the right time. This is kind of concerning. E-girl in 2023 is strictly for, like, freak men with a fetish who I can guarantee the Army does not want.
I'm sure one psychological evaluation at his recruitment would send him packing almost.
Have you seen that video of Paris Hilton throwing a baseball at a baseball mm-hmm. game?
Yes.
You know the way that she runs up to the... I feel like that's how those guys that are watching the waifu gun girl, whatever, that's how they're running. They're not the target audience.
Their entire diet consists of energy drinks and chips.
Right, they're looking for guys, and I guess also for probably women too, who play sports.
Yeah, they're looking for jocks.
Which I was a jock. I respect them. That's not a knock against jocks. I don't think that they're more like, well, they probably are more likely to get recruited at least. But these guys are not jocks. They're not playing a sport.
I think it's more likely for these men to have iron deficiencies.
They need a vitamin D supplement.
Yeah. And that's not, you know, that would cost like a little portion of the military funding that they're not willing to part with. So I don't know. I don't think any of these guys who play Call of Duty are looking into being recruited.
So
at the end of the day.
Same NextGov article, it does mention unfortunately, a person from New Jersey who has a TikTok account where they are more intentionally trying to recruit people because they are a recruiter for the Army National Guard. This mm-hmm. person, her name is Georgia Verucha. Her name on TikTok is NJ Recruiter. She goes by Georgia V. She has nearly 500,000 followers, which is more than the e-girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we are already behind. To me, we are already 10 years behind. Even if the Army allows it right now, this is allowing more authorities for where they can surveil and where they can advertise. We're still behind. Because at the moment, the official guideline is that they are not allowed to use TikTok to recruit. I don't think that that means that they aren't. But mm-hmm. officially, they do not have permission to. This woman is with the National fucking Guard. They don't do shit besides show up to protests and make everyone's life hell. And otherwise, they just, like, sit on their ass. They don't go to, like, war or whatever.
I'm pretty sure they're known internally by other, like, branches of the military as, like, the dumb ones. No?
Because they're just fucking little babies.
Yeah.
They couldn't even be cops. Like, mm-hmm. I'm confused about their whole thing. But this person being successful recruiting people to the National Guard, not surprised. They don't do shit. Mm-hmm.
it's a pretty cushy job for a branch of the military.
Yeah. But this person has claimed that they have, like, been able to use their platform to recruit. I believe that she has. And she says that she regularly ends up in her sergeant major's office to answer for some of the videos on her TikTok page. But at the end of the day, the app isn't downloaded on her government phone. It's a personal page, and she's not representing the uniform poorly in any way, and her videos get leads.
This is an argument that a lot of people make when they're like doctors and nurses and like other professions, and they're talking about their job, and they're like, well, it's a personal page. But I don't think that that argument is going to hold water for much longer. I don't know. Like, not in terms of the military, pushing that aside.
Yeah, they can whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. But, like, I think this, like, idea that, like, oh, it's a personal page, but I'm talking about my career on it. I'm giving tips about how to talk to doctors or nurses or therapists or lawyers on my page. Like, and I'm also using it as a personal page. Mixing the two, I think, can ultimately lead to you getting pulled into an office and getting reprimanded.
If you were, like, in a coma and you needed, you needed, like, a heart, and you were about to get operated on, and your boyfriend was holding your hand and was like, babe, no matter what happens, I love you. I love you. I just want you to know that when you wake up and you have a scar running down your chest, and you go, where's my boyfriend? Where is he? And your doctor pulls out their phone and they go, I'm going live, everyone. And and then they turn to
when your patient doesn't know her boyfriend gave her the heart. Oh my God.
How would you feel?
I'd give her I'd rip out my IV and wrap it around her neck is what I'd start doing. But who's my boyfriend in this scenario?
Just like a guy that you...
Oh, I thought we were doing kind of a fanfic thing.
I don't know any guys that you...
The red M&M.
That seems like the kind of guy that you would like.
He's a bit of a bastard, you know? He's got a bad boy thing going on.
It's so good that you are married to a lovely person and are not dating men at the moment, because I feel like I couldn't deal with seeing a lineup of Jack Blacks.
Stop.
I have nothing against Jack Black, but like...
This is the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I don't want to see that many of them. And it would just be a bunch of guys in like cargo shorts going like, hey, what's up?
This is truly the meanest thing you've ever seen. Like,
isn't he neat?
This is going to get you some more DMs going, whoa, Virgil, you went too far.
But I love that you're married and that you're married to a lovely person who I like, even though she also has blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even hold that against her the way that I do hold it against you.
Well, I think,
those Punnett squares are going to be fucked up.
I know. Well, she is Jewish, so I think that puts her behind me in terms of, like,
in the privileged chart.
So I'm sure that's why you don't hold it against her.
No, I just like her. I think she's... Mm-hmm. I don't want to make fun of her blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very sweet.
Yeah.
She doesn't deserve to be made fun of.
No. TikTok military recruitment. So Marco Rubio. Are you familiar with Marco Rubio?
Yes, I'm familiar with Marco Rubio.
Maybe our producer can... I don't know actually if there's like good audio of this, but maybe if our producer can find it. There should be some audio from his interview with Jake Paul where they come up with some creative solutions to how to stop school shooters. So this is the kind of mind that we're working with.
The fourth thing that I gathered from a lot of people was And this one was kind of odd. I was talking to one student in particular. There are like these bulletproof shields that can fit into laptop pouches of backpacks. If I was a student again, back in 2012, and I knew this information, I wouldn't have gone to school another day without one of those in my backpack.
Senator Marco Rubio, in September of 2022, was putting some pressure on the U.S. Army after some recruiters, including this very person, NJ Recruiter, were caught. I don't know if you can call it caught if they're just on there, but caught using TikTok to find leads on young Americans to enlist, despite orders banning the app's use on government devices. Issued on Monday to Army Secretary Christine Warmuth, terrible name. Marco Rubio's letter comes in a response to a recent report from NextGov describing how recruiters struggle to reach young adults online. Unfortunately,
Christine Warmuth sounds like the name that you would give a Harry Potter character who's like in the military.
Okay, have you noticed, because I read Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality, that every character in Harry Potter is named like Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich. Yeah. They've all got fucked up, like.
Yeah, they've got fucked up little names, and they're always like meant to. They're like, oh, it's so good because they're like it points to a hidden meaning about their personality.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, is that they all have names that tell you what type of person that they are like. And you know how fucking mad it made me when I found out that the werewolf's name is
Remus Lupin. Yep.
First name famously from the myth of the two boys raised by wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Last name.
Second name, Latin meaning, name for dog.
Yeah. How did his parents know that he, like, what the, how, that doesn't even make any sense.
They were like, you know, he's got kind of a dog vibe.
Yeah.
Bark, bark, bitch.
That is, she's just such a eugenicist, she can't help herself. Anyway, Marco Rubio is not looking out for us, if you were, you know, fooled into thinking that for a second maybe he was. The reason he doesn't want the Army recruiting on TikTok is because of TikTok's alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party.
I hear this so often, it drives me insane. I'm just like, oh yeah, like that's the reason that TikTok is the way it is. It's not just a shady tech company. It's completely exclusive from other shady tech companies in that it's Chinese and communist.
I wish that it was communist. Yeah. I want it to be communist so anything. Bad. But the Army did not publicly respond to this call out by Marco Rubio and instead told The Verge, who was reporting on this issue, "We do not comment on correspondence between congressional members and the Secretary of the Army. Secretary Warmuth will respond to Senator Rubio appropriately." So we don't know how that went down. He hasn't said anything since. So maybe he's decided that he's cool with
beef squashed
TikTok's alleged ties to the Communist Party of China. I will say, though, that because military enlistment is all the way down, which is a thing that we should celebrate, we should also be on the lookout for what kind of recruitment tactics are going to be used online, which is, I think, why I had some beef with this article, because I think that it, like, uses sensational and also, like, misogynist reporting to kind of shroud an issue that we really should be, like, taking seriously and, like, keeping a critical eye on, because, like, leaders across all military services, they warned Congress about low recruitment levels for the Air Force, Army, Navy, and the Marine Corps. I got this from the Federal News Network, which, sad, has the title, "Several Military Branches Poised to Miss Recruitment Targets for 2022.
Several.
Yes, it's not looking good for them. And so in that same article, it talks to our friend Christine Warmuth, and she said that we can develop all of the most high-tech new weapon systems like we are working on right now. But if we don't have the kind of talented, motivated individuals to use those weapon systems, we just won't be able to do what we need to do. And the U.S. Army is spending more money than ever, the Army in particular, than technology to replace like an aging military infrastructure. They're using artificial intelligence, which we learned about in part 4 of Harry Potter and the rationality of Dumbledore's Hole. Mm-hmm. But it like all of the spending will be for nothing if they can't get some guys that like to play Call of Duty to operate their drones that miss the intended target 9 out of 10 times. The Secretary of the U.S. Army specifically says the nation risks falling behind in the race against China if it can't recruit enough Americans into the service to be trained on how national defense is being remade for future conflicts. President Xi, if you're listening to this,
mm-hmm.
my country is suffering, and we are in a very weak point right now.
My name is Johnny Apple Pie. I'm a 12-year-old American boy.
I am starving. A 26-year-old reluctant American adult, and I am asking with a clear and conscious mind to save my country. Warmoth goes on to say something that I find very interesting. And she said this at the CNBC Work Summit that was reported on in a CNBC article about the Army's recruitment issues, which I think it seems to be having more of than the other branches of the military. She said, we're competing for talent, just like all of the folks in the industry are. And the job market is hot right now. Wages have gone up a lot, and that's great for Americans, but it's making it harder for us in the Army to compete.
How? Several things. No, they have not. Not enough. And what do you mean it's harder for you to compete? You have $80 billion.
Yeah, but what do they pay? What do you mean? It's going to be like 50K?
Yeah. Something around that, I think. Hold on.
Maybe less than that for like a
average
new recruit?
Military new recruit salary. Let's try that.
I should have looked this up beforehand. I'm very sorry, everyone.
That's the average pay. Well, the average pay for a military recruiter, which is what they
gave I me think is like it 120 would be, a year. The word that you would be looking for would be enlistee.
Enlistee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's look up enlistee salary. Let's see here.
This is behind the scenes big story.
Yeah, you were right. It's the average annual pay is about $52,820 a year.
So that is like slightly less than $25 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Which again points to why enlisting in the military is something that is more common for people from upper middle class and middle class backgrounds that already have a family or a like personal history of involvement in the military. Because when people say that it's like preying on poor people, which is it's halfway true, because you usually don't get recruitment officers in like wealthy high schools unless they are like recruiting you to fancy military schools like West Point or whatever. But $50K, while it is enough money to get lip injections for $600, is not like the kind of money that someone that like is just broke but has like slight principles of I don't want to die in a war. You know, not even like anti-imperialist, whatever, like,
but just, I don't want to die.
Those people.
I don't want to get shot. I don't want to get injured. Yeah.
Who make $100,000. They don't really join the military.
No.
They might
join the National Guard because it's easy, but I don't think they'll join the military proper.
No, not if their main goal is like a financial one.
Mm-hmm.
The Army missed its recruitment goal for fiscal 2022 by $25,000 or 15,000 soldiers. And then in July, the past July of 2022, it cut its projection for the overall size of its force for 2023 by 10,000 and projected that it would see another decline. The Air Force was able to meet its recruitment target for 2022, but they had to spend a lot of money to get there, increasing enlistment incentive bonuses by $22 million. And the additional investments resulted in, the article generously says more than 2,200 new recruits, but I'd like you to do that math.
That's so sad. That's like, oh my God, that's like less than... That's less than 10%. That's so
Yeah, can
sad.
We do some math? Can you can no. you do well use a calculator?
Yeah. No. We'll do some
do
math.
Do 22 million divided by 202,000.
That's 10,000. So 10%, yeah, it's like 10%.
So they had to spend
It's just not millions of dollars.
It's just not a good return. I feel like
this is the kind of thing that if they heard this on Shark Tank, what were the returns on that investment? $2,200.
If you gave me $22 million to recruit people to the Big Soy Naturals Army of Prayer Warriors, I would definitely get more than 2,200. Mm-hmm. We already have more than 2,200 new recruits. They're just not on the fucking Patreon. Tell your friends to spend $1.
$1.
We have the poor people tier.
When you're in our Patreon, it's not the recession.
Yeah, when you're
back in 2002.
Your family. Ms. Wormuth goes on to say something that's like fat phobic, but she's lying and she's hiding the real thing that she's saying. She said only 23% of kids between 16 and 21 are able to meet our standards, and that frankly is reflective of the problem we have in our country with obesity. But then she goes on to say
that it's not my fault you're fat.
She said behavioral health and misconduct are also factors. And I think it's those two things and not the obesity thing.
She said, it's not my fault. You're fat. You're mentally ill.
Well, behavioral problems and misconduct aren't necessarily mental illness, but like being belligerent. She's talking about those DSA guys that watch the e-girls videos. And she's like, we don't fucking want those guys. Because, and again, like the... One of the reasons that the military has had difficulty recruiting in recent years is that they have a huge sexual assault and harassment problem.
Massive.
So I would imagine
have for decades
that they are not necessarily looking for the type of guys who watch the cat girls videos to join the military, because that hurts their long-term recruitment chances. Because imagine that you, not you, 18-year-old young person, mind is a blank slate, is potentially being recruited into the army, and they do that thing where they get to go meet like the local guys that are already in the army to have them say what a nice time they're having. And then the guys that they meet are a bunch of guys that are in the replies of Miss Freckles on her face.
Yeah. Like literally just like
18-year-old lacrosse player is going to get scared the fuck out of joining the army. It's just not happening. Statistically, only 9% of like military age young Americans say that they are interested in joining the military. So it's just not.
I'm delighted at that statistic. That's so fun.
Yeah. Ms. Wormuth, who became the first woman to serve the Army Secretary in May, I forgot to include that detail, and I think that it is additional evidence that our U.S. military is in its flop era. She said that the service has already started a variety of efforts to boost near-term recruitment. The Future Soldier Prep Course, which is effectively a pre-boot camp that helps potential recruits raise their test scores and get more physically fit to meet Army standards, is one. So that's like getting involved directly in high school. in high schools. And then the other thing that she said is that we've got to do a better job of breaking down some of the misperceptions that I think are out there about serving in the military, which are understandable, you know, given that we've been at war essentially for the last 20 years. In some of the survey data we see,
posting her L's,
we see parents worrying about if my child joins the military, will they automatically have PTSD? Yes. Will they be sexually harassed?
Yes.
Will they think about committing suicide?
Yes.
And what's interesting and telling is that she doesn't offer a counter to any of these questions. She's just saying that we need to get people to think differently about joining the military. So in conclusion, people that write for Vox or the New Dork Crimes or the Washington Post,
based,
they just, you know, it's like the story's there.
You've got the scoop, but you're doing, you've basically just let it melt onto the floor.
Yeah, and in favor of like ogling at women who frankly are mid and washed.
They're mid, they're washed. It also kind of erases their agency to just be like, wow, this is all part of some like government psyop. Like they should be empowered to be mid all on their own, you know?
No, they're not. I don't want to empower them.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think it's silly to assume that like they're being washed in mid like because some shady character, like some deep throat character, is like paying them in Bitcoin to recruit boys into the military.
Sometimes
they're just that way on their own.
Men get horny and they ask themselves, does this mean anything? Is this a sign? And what it is a sign of is that they need to put down their phone, open up a book, turn to page one of Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism by Vladimir Lenin, and get to reading. And I think that, like, often men who are on the left, I think as we talked about in our episode about Channel 5 guy, like, they haven't actually embraced or internalized like any of the principles of feminism, which make it really difficult for them to have a real analysis of power or how it works, or what role they play in it. And then that leads them to do things where they are like just flat out objectifying young women online. And then they think that rather than like critiquing that within themselves and not doing that anymore, they're like, it must be the government. The government must be using these beautiful women,
titties, to get me to pilot a drone.
And they do sometimes. They do sometimes. But you know what you can do to not be affected by that is by turning off your phone and opening up a book. Like, the reason that the IDF's, like, military recruitment tactics work for bringing people over to Israel is because it's part of a, like, explicit white supremacist and colonial project of, like, look at these beautiful women that you could build families with. Mm-hmm. So the way to not fall prey to that is to not want to do that shit.
Simply stop wanting that. Get rid of that desire inside of yourself. I will say, I think this episode made me, gave me that little slice of hope that I always need of just like, ooh, recruitment is so pathetic.
Yeah, it's not so good. Down. That's, it's not good.
Yeah.
Because I really do think that like, we like rightly fear, you know, the might of the US military, the police state that we live under, et cetera. And I think that that fear sometimes gets like misdirected into finding the people that run some of these organizations fearful or fearing that they may be competent.
Yeah.
And they are not.
They're much smarter than you. I would even say in the FBI and the CIA, they are not that much smarter than you either.
No, I mean, the way that the FBI makes use of, like the psychological operations that they do is finding people that are isolated, alienated, and very mentally ill, and then using them to stage a like kidnapping, which happened with a certain governor not that long ago, or a shooting or something, at where like making a bomb that doesn't go off properly, and mm-hmm. then arresting them and claiming that they foiled a plot that they orchestrated. But that is the level of psychological warfare that they are typically capable of, mm-hmm. which is like, not to say that it isn't evil, but it's also not, it wouldn't be that hard for anyone to do, because that's mm-hmm. kind of the whole point of taking advantage of someone that is in a really like dark place in their life that has no one yeah. else that's looking out for them.
Is that
like,
it's pretty
kind
easy.
Of anyone would be able to yeah. take advantage of such a person, and it is evil to do so, but it's not.
People are able to do that on a very small level all the time. You know, you think about just even conservatorships, financial scams, the guy yeah. on Airbnb who sold you a shitty
what kind of psychological operations does the CIA more regularly get involved in? It is infiltrating college mm-hmm. college campuses, specifically MFA programs. That is a real thing that you can look up. Yeah. We can mm-hmm. include it in our notes description. And like small time leftist groups yeah. with like a lot of infighting, which again, yeah, anyone can do.
They're pretty bad at following you. They're pretty bad at asking you for things, like asking you to join their causes.
Yeah, and there have been many cases, a lot of evil, a lot of coups mm-hmm. in other countries. The reason for being able to get away with that is less about their like competency and more about the lack of standards that they are held to in order mm-hmm. to accomplish their tasks. And we can see also like in recent years that when any amount of requests for secrecy are applied, that they don't go well. I wish I could remember. It was like four men that were found in Venezuela with like very obviously faked documents that yeah. were like,
yeah,
you know, it's like that's the kind yeah. of shit that they were getting up to in the 50s as well, but it was a little bit easier for them to get away with it, which is not me saying that we shouldn't take it seriously or that the evil is like to be downplayed. But I think that when we're like claiming a level of like highly secret psychological operation of a ring of 20-year-old cat girls for the purpose of recruiting young men who are in their school's YDSA to turn rogue and become fascists that shoot Call of Duty type drones in Ukraine. It's like, let's like be serious. And then let's also like get serious about taking that 9% recruitment number and making that zero.
Mm-hmm. I would say like the most effective propaganda tool they have is the entertainment industry, but it's not going to be cat girls.
Right. And in some ways, that is the military recruitment tactic.
And in some ways, it will be Call of Duty, in the sense that like if you do play a Call of Duty story campaign, they do use real coups that the US did and assassinations, and make you the main character of those, and then make it basically rewrite it to be like it was effective and it was necessary. So in some ways, like that's part of it. But like you think about like the Venezuela thing that you mentioned, like they made that show Jack Reacher, that was like Jim from The Office saves Venezuela from communism. Or the Marvel, the Marvel industrial complex, which you can hear about in our friends.
So I was going to recommend them. Yeah. There's an excellent episode of Eating for Free about the Marvel military industrial complex. I do forget the title of it, which is too bad because it's probably a very funny title, but we will link it in our description if you have not listened to it already.
Which, what are you doing if you haven't listened to it?
Well, I do think that, like, we should keep an eye on Twitch and on like the Call of Duty types, and like what sort of influencers are in that sphere, because we know that they're not very scrupulous about like what kinds of ads they do. So I could see that being a way that if those like authorities are given to them, that recruitment takes place. But I think that like even that is not as big of a worry to me as what is being pushed in like Marvel movies and other movies that use military funding, because I don't know how much they want the Call of Duty types either, who are maybe like more preferable than the like YDSA reply guys. Yeah. But I think that the goal is probably to find like average, apolitical kinds of people who just do things like normal stuff, like go to the movies with their family and see, you know, whatever is like one of the number one movies that's playing in theaters right now, and then reaching them subtly through like influencing them in the films that they watch and with the characters that they enjoy. That makes a lot more sense to me than like going after like future school shooter types, which I know that they do, you know, but I don't think that they're happy about it when they do it.
I will say that Call of Duty is a very normal game. It's one of the most popular franchises.
Can I confess
in
something?
The nation. I would say that a lot of really, really normal guys play Call of Duty all the time. I would say it's more of a middle point between it is trying to be both a recruitment tool and it is also trying to just be a propaganda tool. Like I said before, the story campaigns and all of that are meant to evoke an idea that anything that the military does, whether it be an assassination, a coup, just a general operation, is effective and necessary, even when it risks or lives or just kills people outright.
If you're listening and you want us to do a bit more of an investigative researched thing on like what online military recruitment tactics are taking place, because this was like a mostly us complaining about bad writing episode, and obviously we did some research, but we could go a bit deeper into like what actual tactics are being used right now if you're interested. Leave a little comment. I think my final thing is I'm going to leave you with a confession about myself and my knowledge of the world of gaming. So I've never seen anyone play Call of Duty. I've obviously never played it myself. I only know it by the titles. And until a couple hours ago, actually, when I was looking up some stuff for this episode, I texted my dear friend Steven, who is the voice of our opening music.
Shout out, Steven.
And I asked, how did Call of Duty get away with making a game just about Black people? And was it just like a different time that you could do that? Or like, was that okay? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Call of Duty Black Ops. I'm familiar with the title. And I thought that it was like a game where you just like are shooting at Black people. And I was like, it seems kind of messed up that they would do that. But it seems like it was a popular game when I was online in 2008 or 2009. were things just really different then? And he was like, did you not bother to look up the game before you talked to me? But I did. And there was just a shadowy figure on the cover. So it seemed confirmed to me that that's what it was about. Anyway, if you're like me, and that's what you thought this whole time, that is not what it is about.
Yeah, leave us a comment if that's what you thought Call of Duty Black Ops was about.
Good episode.
If you want to hear another bonus episode of me explaining video games to Virgil, leave us a comment.
Pay more money if you want us to do that.
Give us the feet tier and we'll make
the episode. We'll at least get on the $10 tier is when you're allowed to start telling us what episodes you want us to do. And 15 is when you can assign us an episode, which is how we got the Omegaverse one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that shit.
We reserve all authority and right to deny your request.
Well, the point is that they pay us so that we have to do it. If we say that we're gonna deny it, then we kind of take away their incentive to pay us.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that was the bonus episode this week. Thank you for joining us on Show Hole.
We love you.
We love you.
It's still Show Hole. Not really, like, it's kind of the opposite of Show Hole. I think we have to come up with a different name for our Patreon episodes. We don't have to do that now, but I don't think that it's Show Hole.
I think it has to be something buzzball in nature.
Hole closed.
Yeah.
Like an earring.
Hole closed. You don't need any CTAs in this one. You're already here. Bye.
Bye.
I love Venn diagrams. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. When I'm smoking green, it's because I'm on your team. When I smoke the seed, because I'm such a fiend. High as a kite, smoking Walter White. When I smoke the blue and I smoke the purple. Smoking on the blunt, because I want to run. Smoking on the green, because it makes me lean. Smoking on the ground, I smoke and scream. When I hit the blunt, it's a paper cut. When I hit the blunt, I go, fuck. When I hit the blunt, I don't give a fuck. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. 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 When I hit the pipe, I'm like Walter White.
Walter.
When I hit the smoke, I feel like a dope.
Dope.
Yeah, I like green because it makes me lean. And I smoke high because I'm blowing clouds. When I'm getting high, then it's time to smoke. When I'm smoking loud, then it's time to blow clouds. When I hit the blunt, I don't give a fuck. When I hit the blunt, it's like, give a fuck. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke.
Big Soy Naturals.